I also think that looking back, like a lot of the positive outcomes really far outweigh the potentially negative ones, which is, I think, is at the root of regret. And so looking back, I have enough life experience that I can say, okay, you know, I was nervous or I didn't want to do this. I was concerned about this. The vast majority of the things that I was concerned about never happened.
Right.
The vast majority of them never happened. This is just fear manifesting itself at a moment of decision or indecision. And for me, looking back, like, you know, it's not even so much regrets, but it's like, man, if I, you know, it's regret. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Julian.
And I'm Kirsten. And today we're going to put a little twist on our normal content and actually talk about the things that we regret not buying.
Yeah, yeah. That is a twist. Normally it's like, you know, the other way around.
Don't buy this.
Don't buy it. Don't buy it. You won't regret it. But
right.
Definitely have our fair share of regrets.
Well, this episode was actually inspired by a recent conversation that we were having with some friends about some of the sacrifices we made on our way to debt freedom. So for those who are unfamiliar with our story or maybe a new listener, we actually paid off $200,000 in debt over a 5-year period. And recently when we were catching up, somehow our wedding came up because that was one of the things that happened like right after that debt freedom period. And Julian mentioned that he regretted not actually purchasing a video of our wedding.
Yeah, I don't even remember who we were having that conversation with. This is likely because we had just come back from a conference and there were hundreds of people there and we were really having a good time. I have a general idea, but I really can't remember. But yeah, like I remember getting the quote for the wedding and it just kind of felt like a really large sum of money at the time. We could afford it at the time, but we just kind of were living by our frugal values.
Yeah, it hadn't rinsed off yet. I think it was like maybe $4,000 or $5,000. Like
yeah.
By the time you factored in, because our wedding was a destination wedding.
Right.
Factored in travel, editing, what we wanted the video to capture. It was a significant amount of money, and having just paid off all of this stuff and like writing these big checks to credit card companies, it's like, oh, we could just invest that money.
Yeah. And I think what really triggered it for me was likely our son, right? And so they tell you, they warn you that everything about your life changes. But our son, and for those of you who have kids or children, you may experience this as well. But every now and then, whenever he sees a picture of us, he says, where am I, mama?
Yeah, where
am
I, daddy?
Where was I? And it was like, oh, you weren't even an idea.
Right.
Like, you weren't born yet.
But
he's so accustomed to us being all together. So if he sees us in a picture, he's like, where am I? Where's my picture?
Yeah.
And we don't have video of our wedding, and not even just because of him, but it was one of the best days ever. You know,
yeah.
I think anyone who was there will swear that it was without question one of the top 3 weddings they've ever been to. And I say that with pride because we really put a lot of thought and work into organizing this party. It was a party with a wedding on the side. So if you were there and you're listening, you remember, close your eyes, take yourself back there, because unfortunately I cannot share a video to recreate the experience with you.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I didn't realize I had regrets until you said it.
Yeah.
Because regret is just not, in general, a natural emotion for me. And I think it's because as a child I heard stuff like, oh, you can't miss what you never had, or it is what it is. And I just believe that. Like, I just have never tried to miss something that I've never had. I've learned not to regret stuff. But then you said the wedding video, and I'm like, dang, that is the word for how I feel.
Yeah, we have grainy iPhone footage.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we said, this episode is a slight departure from our normal MO. But I think as we enter into the holiday season and our sophomore, or maybe it's junior year of COVID life, it's important for people to be kind of self-aware about when they're being intentionally frugal and when they're just being cheap or short-sighted, if you're not, you know, comfortable with the word cheap. And I'm interested in learning, like, if there's ways to recognize when it's happening in the moment, or is hindsight truly just 20/20 and with age comes wisdom and all that jazz?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll get started.
Okay.
I was going to say I regret not buying crypto in 2009 or whatever, but I'll actually go to a more like realistic example because I was fully aware that I was not doing this. I regret not buying any stock from 2009 to 2012 or 13. There was like a 4-year period
yeah.
where I wasn't participating in any 401k plans or anything. And a little bit of background context, I was changing careers and jobs, and I had had like a small 401k plan with my former employer. I think it was like $5,000. And I knew that I wouldn't be eligible for the 401k at my new job until I had been there 90 days. And I just didn't feel like figuring out how to roll things over. It required back then to get on the phone and like write a letter. It wasn't just like a click of the button. And so I actually cashed out my 401k from my previous employer. And then I told myself that I would just start a new one at the new job when I was eligible. Well, that never happened because after 90 days, I didn't want any money coming out of my paycheck. Like I was already spending every little bit and I didn't want anything coming out even for the goodness of retirement.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was being frugal or cheap. I was just being short-sighted. Like I assumed that retirement was so far away. I could catch up whenever I wanted. And it just wasn't as important as what I was doing with that money at that time, which was just buying a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And I think even the way that you're framing it up is important too, right? Because we're talking about regret. And I think one of the last things you said was you didn't think that, you know, spending it now was as important or compared to, let's say, preparing for the future. They're both important.
Right.
Right. And I think a lot of people look at it that way, you know, and I've come to learn that that's a very American thing. I'm sure other cultures see life that way, but we're very much black and white, binary, yes or no, good or bad. And it's like, well, both are actually important. It's important to live in the moment. It's important to maximize the time that you have on this earth, but it's also important to prepare for the future. But I want to put this, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's universally true, but there are these windows of opportunity, these woo moments, woo,
yes.
Window of opportunity. Write that down, y'all.
Oh, okay. So
it's a woo moment.
Okay.
In 2009 was one of them woo moments.
It was. And so for me, it, I don't want to be all woo-woo, but I do remember because I'd finished up my grad school program and I was coming out with an MBA, fresh, sharp, with a clear understanding or belief that I understood how the world worked in terms of business and money and finance and all these things. And I remember thinking, and I'm sure if any one of my friends from back then can remember, I remember sending out an email to people saying, like, this is the moment. If ever there was a time for you to make up for your own mistakes or your families sort of missed opportunities. This is the moment because we were coming out of the Great Recession. And I was like, there is nowhere to go but up. It may not go up quickly.
Right.
But there's nowhere
to go.
This
is the time.
But up.
So now.
Let's go back in time. 2009 was the beginning of what would become and technically still is, I'm not really sure, the longest bull market in recorded history. So if you'd invested money that year and just let it sit, did absolutely nothing, went through all the ups and downs, all the scares, all the political, social turmoil, all of that stuff, your money would have multiplied by six, right? In just that period of time.
Just in that 1 year.
You just
done 2009.
No. Right. If you just contributed or invested money in 2009, today in 2021, we're in November, you'd have roughly six times as much money. So let's get a little bit more specific. Back then, I remember this number, but back then, the maximum amount of money that you could contribute to a 401k, you know, the plan that you decided to ignore, was $16,500. And I can imagine that kind of seems like a lot of money. I remember feeling that way. It's like, I worked so hard to get this salary, and now you're telling me I need to carve out $16,500 to prepare for the future. One, most people can't afford to do that, but assuming you could and you did, you would have about $110,000 just from that decision, right? If you'd invested, let's say, $5,000 that year, a little less, let's say you were just focusing on an IRA or a smaller account or a brokerage account, you and a company's added another $5,000, right? Because that's another sort of component to how 401k plans work. That $10,000 similar would have had a 6x effect and you'd have about $70,000. That's the power. And by the way, I'm talking about a simple index fund that just tracks the S&P 500.
Right.
But wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh.
There's more because
you're rubbing salt in my wound.
Well, you mentioned crypto. And so I don't know if you remember when we got married, the day after we got married, and we were sitting in the room and we were opening up all of the cards, and one of my friends, who shall remain nameless, gifted us $1,000.
Oh, yeah. We thought it was a mistake.
We thought he was drunk and he added an extra zero.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, nah, man, it was a good year. So I want to share with you. And I was like, wow, man, thank you so much. You know, we were so focused on using this to buy gift cards and for Home Depot and Lowe's so that we could renovate our home. That was our plan back then. If we decided that, you know what, this is a fluke, this is a glitch, let's just take that $1,000 and instead of buying probably what, a refrigerator or a dryer or something like that, if we decided to just buy Bitcoin, which is at the time was $327.
Oh my God.
That investment, $1,000 would be worth around $186,000 today, which seems crazy. I mean, even as I think about like the decision to renovate that property,
we
spent around $45,000 to $50,000 renovating that property. So you want to talk about regret? That was a great property, great project. We learned a lot about each other. But if we had just been futurists and nerds and says, I don't know what this is, and dug in, we would be multi-millionaires.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And that's
just
for
regret.
That's just 2009.
Right.
When you add in 2010, 11, and part of 12, 2012 was when we met.
Oh, gosh.
I started to get my life together. But if you add up all those years, that decision, that one decision to not let a little bit of money come out of my check probably cost me close to $250,000 on the conservative side.
Yep.
And way more if I had been investing in crypto.
Yeah.
So, again, I didn't identify with the word regret until recently because at that time, it felt like I was making an informed decision. Looking back, I can see that I was missing such an important piece of the full story. You know, I was watching the news and seeing all the press about the economy bouncing back and consumer confidence, and I was participating in the celebration as a consumer, not as an investor.
Right.
And you're seeing that now with like the revenge spending and how, you know, with our current recovery, if you can call it that, where more Americans are spending more money than they ever were before. I think if people aren't making investments right now, they'll look back in 10 years like, dang.
Yeah.
Remember when Bitcoin was only $60,000?
Right. Right.
That might be an extreme example, but like, you know, it's.
It may not be Bitcoin.
It may not be.
It may be a different coin.
It may be a different coin. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So you talked about regretting investing in the house, but like, is there something that else that you regret not buying?
So because I am the more responsible one and was back then, I don't have that many regrets around money because I was pretty much living by some of these decisions. Now, granted, I wish I'd made a few different investment decisions, but a lot of my regrets, if you want to call them that, really come from experiences that I'd wish I'd taken or risks, other risks or chances or just taking advantage of opportunities. Like, you know, I'm getting a little older and, you know, when you start to see that some of your favorite musicians, people that you grew up listening to that really were foundational to your life aren't alive anymore. And yeah, I remember telling myself like, oh, you know, one day I'm going to be able to get front row tickets and go see them. Right. So I think about A Tribe Called Quest, for example, like one of my favorite groups. It's a hip hop group of all time. They fundamentally changed my life and my relationship with music, led me to jazz and all kinds of other genres. I remember when they came to Atlanta and a friend of mine asked me if I was going and I was like, nah, I don't really want to go, you know? And now like one of the members passed away. They'll never, you know, I'll never be able to experience them live the same way. I remember similarly being in college and walking distance from, there was a club called Club Karma and it was right downtown.
Yes.
And I remember hearing from someone that Prince was going to be in town. And I was like, I mean, people were like, yo, I'm definitely going. I know it's going to be crazy. He might not show up until the absolute end, but that's fine. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to see Prince. And I didn't go. And even, gosh, even towards the end of his life, his literal last show, I didn't know that at the time, but I even still had an opportunity to go see Prince live. If I'm not mistaken, his last show was in Atlanta and I didn't go. Didn't even make an attempt to go. So I think about regret more so in terms of experiences. And now when I think about some of the things that I want to see in the world, because I may have mentioned this before, that in addition to food, I'm very much a nature geek. And so when I think about things like animals that may not be alive 5 or 10 years from now, right?
And like, even places that they won't let you travel to. Places
that you may not be able to go to. We got engaged at Machu Picchu, and a few years after that, I'm pretty sure they shut it down
for foot
traffic, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I'm really glad that we went, because we would not have had an opportunity to go. And so I think about places like the Great Barrier Reef and, you know, the Redwood Forest and Alaska.
Yes,
and there are creatures, there are places that if you don't take advantage of it, you may not get a chance to see it. You'll be explaining to your children, you know, that you wanted to, and sort of conveying and passing on that regret. And so,
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I was in my late 20s when I was paying off my debt, and I didn't know it at the time, but those were my last years as a child-free single woman in the world, you know? And I was traveling a little bit for work and a little bit for fun, but my friends were taking these, you know, what felt like lavish trips for long periods of time because they didn't have no responsibilities. And they would fly to different cities to go to tour stops of all of our favorite artists. I think in 2013, both Beyonce and Rihanna were on tour, and they like changed the game for touring. And I would always politely decline because I was so focused on hitting this goal.
Yeah.
Looking back, I wish I would have found a better balance so I had more of those moments. It's hard enough to remember what life was like before I was a mom. So I just wish I had like known intuitively how much my life was going to change over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And again, I think this one is a hindsight being 2020 example, because I do know when I meet 20 somethings and they're all in their feelings about how big their goals are and how long it's going to take, I try to remind them to like find the balance between that period of your life that you never get back and hitting this arbitrary target that you can hit in a number of ways these days. You don't have to wait a full year because of a stagnant wage. Like, you can just figure out a way to knock that thing out.
Yeah, yeah. I have very similar feelings about not exploring videography or buying a camcorder. And I think especially because, you know, sometimes when you're watching a documentary or something and the person is telling their origin story or how they grew up and they literally have footage.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best.
Yeah, I only have... I think I've seen myself as a child in video for about 5 seconds. And it just so happened because my fifth grade teacher recorded a class play or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was around 30 minutes long, but I was only in it for maybe like 10 seconds.
Right.
And I'll never forget it because I remember when she sent me the CD or the DVD, and I got so excited because I did not have footage of myself. And I watched the entire thing only to find out at the end that I was the cameraman. And so I was in it for like a second, and I was the cameraman. So I actually still don't have like a lot of great footage of what I look like. But meanwhile, I've got footage of my friends dancing and being silly. And I'm like, that's what a 12-year-old looks like. Meanwhile, I'm the camera guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even in the single video that I actually have of myself. So that's a huge regret for me because I think about that. And it's part of the reason why I obsessively study video and take video of our son today. But I had similar experiences when I studied abroad. I studied abroad twice. The first time was in 2005. And I remember I was too cheap to buy a good camera. And I remember packing up, remember those disposable Kodak cameras.
Yes.
I remember throwing about five of them in there and feeling like I was splurging because I bought a bunch of them. I was like, man, I got 5 or 6 of these things. I'm throwing them in the trunk or in my garage. My luggage.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take all the pictures in the world with, you know, carefree because I've got a bunch of shots. And those pictures are horrible.
Yeah, they're kind of blurry.
they're all blurry.
I tried to use them in a presentation.
Oh, they're terrible.
And it's like, you just look like a black blob.
I know. And then in 2007, I studied abroad again, but I had learned my lesson then. And so I bought a nicer camera, and I now, as a result, have hundreds of pictures of that experience in Japan. And so that shapes the way that I think and experience things and try to capture memories today, because I think it's worth the investment for me, because those are things that are really important to me.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love how your regrets involve like not having footage or not experiencing something, because it reflects how your brain works.
Yeah.
All right, one last one before we go to break. But I regret not buying a good vacuum.
What?
I regret not buying a good vacuum. I've always just...
Vacuums bring you joy?
Well, I've always just kind of bought whatever was on display at the store or whatever was on sale for Black Friday. And I never realized the difference a good vacuum makes. Okay. My mom has had the same vacuum for like 30 years and she has never replaced it. At least I think she still has that dang vacuum. So I didn't know it was like a thing that people did. I didn't know that vacuum technology would like change. Her vacuum is a Kirby and it works, but it's 40 pounds probably and sounds like a freight train and has like the bag that goes like when it turns on, no like it's got a bag way on it. Yeah.
Oh, so you gotta take a picture of this.
Oh yeah, we need to find it. but now, like, I was in the store the other day and I picked up the vacuum, and now they make vacuums that are like quiet and cordless and backless and have like,
yeah, they're like laptops.
All of the yeah, they have all the technology of a dang Tesla in it. And here I am stuck like Chuck because I don't love our current vacuum, but vacuums are not something that you can just throw away. That's what my brain tells me.
Yeah. It still works.
Yeah. So, like, as I'm talking, I feel like this is one of those situations where I'm not being frugal. I'm just being cheap. But it's also, like, a thing.
I don't want to shame you, but it sounds like you're being cheap and ridiculous.
I know. And because me and Janice, she's Yo Quiero Dinero, we were talking about on Twitter how we will feel like we made it to the next level when we can have a vacuum for each level of the house. And I chimed in and I was like, plus they got to be cordless. And she was like, whoa, that's next level. Guys, a cordless vacuum might run you like $40. Like, this is not something that I can't make happen for myself. But I think I have a hang up with it.
Okay. Well, then we can talk offline.
I want to keep unpacking
we're going to have an intervention about this. Why don't we go ahead and cut for break so that we can collect ourselves? And then when we come back,
I have a whole rant about other
and I respect
appliance.
That.
Okay. Okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about some of the purchases we regret not making. And I'll save my rant for feature-rich high-end appliances later. But I'm curious about like how your past regrets have informed your future choices. In other words, like has the feeling that you've missed capturing key moments changed the way that you approach them now?
Sure. I think primarily because I realized just how many moments are and can be completely forgotten, right? Like we live in a very fast-paced world or at least, and we certainly have very fast-paced lives. We experience so much that some of like the greatest moments are just so easily forgotten. And so for me, that's part of the reason why I'm a bit obsessive about capturing them, mm-hmm. even if it means being a bit disruptive in the moment, because I know that that's taboo, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, just be in the moment, put your phone down. And I hear that. But I also know that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you may not have like, you know, those memories of yourself or your children or your family. And so it really helps to have footage of yourself or of people that you love or just moments that you really want to capture in the moment. So I think that's really important. I also think that looking back, like a lot of the positive outcomes really far outweigh the potentially negative ones, which is I think is at the root of regret. And so mm-hmm. looking back, I have enough life experience that I can say, okay, you know, I was nervous or I didn't want to do this. I was concerned about this. The vast majority of the things that I was concerned about never happened.
Right.
The vast majority of them never happened. This is just fear manifesting itself at a moment of decision or indecision. And for me, looking back, like, you know, it's not even so much regrets, but it's like, man, if I, you know, well, it's regret. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
I look back and you know, I'm sitting here trying to like smooth it over and polish it.
Language is such an imperfect instrument here because regret comes with all of those other feelings that you may not associate with.
Yeah.
But the word itself is regret.
And I don't want to go off on another tangent, but I think as we're speaking, this is, you know, where there is a relationship between risk and joy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us don't think about it that way. Risk is more often associated with danger
yes.
or concern.
Less and, with reward.
And, correct.
Right.
And it comes with, well, not even reward, but joy, right? Because
yeah,
like, to your point,
is
joy
reward.
Is the emotion that comes from, you know, one, conquering that risk or overcoming that risk, but then also the result of the reward.
Yes.
And I think we don't really think about it that way. We just hear the word risk. It has a weight to it. Something about that R, you know, it's a hard R and it just feels like, ooh, no.
I think it's the K, the SK.
Maybe it's like, the K.
Yeah. Risk.
But yeah, it's like a scary word.
It is.
It's like, no, it can be a pathway to joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like what I've learned about my regret and how it's set up is that my how my regret is set up. My relationship to it changes over time.
Yeah.
I actually saw this meme about grief that really resonated with me because it was addressing the common belief that grief gets easier with time. As time goes on, it gets easier. And the meme, the picture was really simple. It was just a ball in a small jar, and then next to it, same ball, but in a bigger jar. And the caption was, it's not that your grief gets smaller over time, but your life grows bigger around the grief. It's the same size, it just takes up less space kind of thing. And that's how I feel about my regrets. I still have them, but I really try to build a life that consists of good choices around and after my regret. And I remind myself that as long as I keep living, the regrets don't have to and won't take up as much space as I'm giving them in the moment.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I think it's important to, you know, think about like the impact that regret can have on people's lives.
And, yes.
You know, a lot of people, it can make you afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like you just lock yourself up. You don't do anything. You don't go anywhere. You don't splurge. You don't do anything. And that's why, you know, it's in part why we're having this conversation. Like I've had my moments. I've had my moments where I've regretted buying our first house. But looking back, like I kind of think of it as a mistake, but it was one of the best mistakes that could have ever happened because it introduced so many other lessons and learnings that I've used to create positive outcomes and positive memories. Or even when I think back to, if I were to just look at it from a financial standpoint, I don't regret paying off my student loans sooner. I remember having a choice.
Right.
And I had a choice between, do I want to pay off my student loans this year or do I want to buy an engagement ring to marry this woman that I think is going to be my life partner?
He's talking about me, y'all.
And I am talking about, and I made a decision to do that, right? And
so you bought an engagement ring instead of paying off your student loans?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet.
I paid off the student loans the following year. But the first year, I was like, let me go ahead and lock this up. Let's see if I can see if she'll get a raise and then we can funnel the payoff to student loan debt payment.
It's a wealth transfer.
It was very strategic.
No, you're right. Regret is definitely one of those feelings that causes people to overcorrect.
Yes.
To your point, it can make you afraid of everything.
Yes.
Imagine if regretting buying your first house had prevented you from buying homes. You know, from then on.
Like, oh, that happens. I remember when I bought my first rental property and reaching out to friends, doing what these books had told me to do and asking friends. And they were like all telling me the horrible experiences that they had. And I could have been, you know, I could have had my decision informed by their feelings of regret, but I didn't allow that in. I was like, well, that was your experience. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's going to be my experience. And I was right.
Yeah. Like, I think the takeaway is that regret is just one of those silent forces that shapes your financial decisions for better or for worse.
Yes.
And so like understanding where it shows up and just making sure that you're mindful of that is important.
Yeah.
And then just kind of forgetting what you've already learned. Like there's that saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Like it's one of those things that's like, don't listen to that. Like do better if you, you know, are being taken advantage of, but like it's, regret is just one of those natural emotions.
Every time I hear that saying, I can't help but to think of George W. Fool me once. Shame on me. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Poor George.
Shame on somebody.
Poor George. All right. What are your final thoughts? Was that your final thought?
No. I mean, it should have been, but I actually had a final thought.
You regret that that wasn't your final
thought? I regret that it wasn't. Oh. But I actually regret that yours wasn't the thing that you said earlier.
I know. I
as you were saying it, I was like, ooh, end it right now. Anyway, my final thought is that regret is a feeling or a thought that lives in your head only.
Mm.
It's like hunger, you know? Only you know when you're hungry, how hungry you are, and what you need to do to resolve that. So what that means is that we're in control of our emotional experience with regret. So if you're out there and you're feeling regret about a certain financial decision or indecision, just remember that like we can't see it. It's not a defining characteristic or deterministic in any way in terms of my reactions to you. And it ends when you're ready for it to end.
I like that. I'm going to age myself because this is what comes with wisdom. You know, I'm going to have a little Michael Eric Dyson moment. And so I mentioned earlier that I was a fan of hip hop. And obviously kind of around that same era, another album came out, which was Reasonable Doubt. If you're a hip hop head, you know that was Jay-Z's first album. I remember owning the tape, and one of the songs on that album was called Regrets. And in it, he's got this couple bars in the hook where he says, "This is the number one rule for your set. In order to survive, gotta learn to live with regrets. Mm. On the rise to the top, many drop. Don't forget it. In order to survive, gotta learn to live with regrets."
Wow.
And it's not a deep, you know, philosophical thing, but like to your point, it's an ever-present thing. It doesn't go away.
No.
Using your example of the balls in the jar, right? It just sort of occupies less space if you are focused on growth. Mm. Right. Mm. So if you choose to grow, then regret hopefully will just occupy a smaller and smaller space in your life. So buy the album, download it, probably on Tidal, because you can't get it on, you know, it's a real thing.
So he released some of his music on other platforms, but most of it is on Tidal.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Well, I hope you don't regret listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. We will see you soon.